believe I'd like to say a few encouraging words to you. To you who are experiencing the silence of God and you don't like it. Is it possible for Christians to get discouraged and think that maybe God's not listening to me? I believe it is. What about your job? Do you have a job? Do you wish you had one? Did you know that the statistics tell us that most men in the world hate their job? They like having a job, but they hate their job. Isn't that interesting? Are you looking for another one? Have you asked God about it? Is he listening to you? Does your wife love you? What about your husband? What about your kids? Have they gone wild on you? And you've talked to God about 15 years and nothing seems to be happening? What do you do with the silence of God? Are you dealing with pain? Are you hurting real bad today? What about illness? My mama told me right before she died, and she said, it's a shame that you have to outlive your usefulness. What about that? Do you feel like you've outlived your usefulness and you talk to God about it and he might not be saying anything? How do you deal with the silence of God? Are your dreams on hold or are they nearly dead because of all this endless waiting? You know, if we knew that God was doing something, or in particular, if we knew what he was doing, it might be easier to deal with. But this perpetual waiting sometimes can erode our faith and make us almost quit believing in anything that's good. I determined that I'm not smart enough to presume to know what's in the mind of God except what the Bible says about it. So I'd like to encourage you with a few answers to these issues. The Bible actually has some really neat ideas, and one of them that helped me a lot is that God's people have always waited. God promised Abraham a child, and 100 years later, he got one. Have you waited 100 years yet? Jacob lost his son Joseph to a deceitful ruse by his other kids. It grieved him deeply. He thought his son was dead. Hurt him badly. Decades later, at least 20 years later, he learned that his son Joseph was ruling in Egypt. Where was God when Jacob's heart was breaking for Joseph? Joseph honored God and was put in prison for it. And I believe it was 2 years he was in prison. Maybe without hearing from God. He honored God and suffered for it. Where was God when Joseph was in prison? The descendants of Jacob were promised a land of their own. 400 years later, they got it. Jesus promised to come back. 2,000 years later, he hasn't. God doesn't mind us waiting. That's the conclusion I arrived at from the Bible. I think God doesn't mind us dying and he doesn't mind us waiting. So what do we make of it? Oswald Chambers wrote a neat little book called Prayer, A Holy Occupation. And here's what he said. Am I willing to endure God's silence while he goes about preparing his answer? Or do I expect him to give me a progress report every day or so? God isn't giving you a progress report, and you think he should, here's some things to think about. This scripture, I've been reading this thing for, I guess, since I could read. And I really wanted to know what's in it. And in this scripture, I find clear evidence that there are some prayers that God flat is not going to answer. And it's because the prayer, the one who prays, isn't living right. So the first thing I've got to do, I think, is to take inventory of myself. Am I living right? The Israelites were praying, and here's what they said. Here's God talking about them. Isaiah 58. Day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what's right. They ask me for just decisions and seem eager for God to come near them. They say, why have we fasted and you've not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you haven't noticed? And he answers them. And the reason is, he says, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and you exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You can't fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard. Is this the kind of fast I've chosen, only a day for a man to humble himself? Is it only for bowing one's head like a reed and for lying on sackcloth and ashes? Is that what you call a fast, a day acceptable to the Lord? And then he tells them, this is the kind of fasting I've chosen. Do this. Loose the chains of injustice. Untie the cords of the yoke. Set the oppressed free and break every yoke. Is it not to share your food with the hungry, provide the poor wanderer with shelter? If you do these things, then your light will break forth like the dawn and your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you. And verse 9 says, then you'll call and the Lord will answer. You'll cry for help and he'll say, here am I. Is it possible that you're praying to God and you're asking God for things and he's not answering you, but you're living wrong? You're living in rebellion to God. That'd be our first answer. So, after we take inventory, though, and after we figure ourselves out and say, well, I really am seeking after God, and I really do want God, God to be proud of me, and I want to walk with him, but he's still not answering, what then? Here is what I think. I think it might be because of an act of great compassion from God, an act of great benevolence. I had to work in a garden and I hated it. I loved radishes, and I love to eat tomatoes and things like that, but I hated weeding the garden. And I think that there are gremlins or something that come in and plant weeds among your garden. Because they come up right with everything else, correct? And it's hard. I feel sorry for farmers. I don't know how a farmer does it. You got everything in the world against you. You got weather, you got weeds, you got bugs, all those kind of things. I planted 20 acres of hay, made a beautiful hay field. It's just as smooth as it could be, and planted it 39 days of no rain. Right after that. And then it rained, and then pigs came in and rototilled the entire field. It's hard to grow stuff. Anyway, problem with radishes is, when those little old dudes, we planted them early in the spring. They were one of the earliest things we planted. I have to go in there and weed them up, and the problem with a radish is, when that little dude is a baby, and you got a weed growing right beside it, you pull a weed, you pull your radish up. Y'all ever done that before? Well, that's what happens. Are you sick of evil in the world? Do you wish God would just get rid of it? Why doesn't he? This is a great big answer right here. Matthew 13. What is the kingdom of heaven like? 13:24. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. And when the wheat sprouted and formed heads, the weeds appeared. Sounds like my garden. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where'd the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. And the servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull up the weeds?" "No," he answered, "because while you're pulling the weeds, you may root up the wheat with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I'll tell the harvesters, first collect the weeds and tie them up in bundles to be burned, and then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn." Are you living among evil and you're sick of it? It might be like the kingdom of heaven. It might be that the silence of God is actually a beautifully benevolent act for us in order to keep us from being rooted. Interesting thought. Good point. Great piece of news. Maybe he's trying to grow. James 1 says, "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, or when you fall into many trials." Why? Why would I be happy if I'm having trouble? It doesn't. The fact that I'm having trouble kind of indicate that God's not answering as quickly as I wish He was. Why do I want to be happy? Because I'm having trouble. Well, the Bible says in James, because what? It's good for us. It produces perseverance. And perseverance produces maturity. You know, what the psychologists tell us is that one characteristic of maturity is the ability to defer gratification. Ability to defer gratification is a description of maturity. So if you want a cookie right now, maybe you ought to wait 15 minutes before you get that cookie, and you might get skinnier. Maybe the silence of God is designed to help us grow. And we're to be happy when we're having trouble. Maybe it isn't silent, we're just not listening. What does Romans say? Does it say, I know Psalm says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth shows it, I can't remember. But anyway, it's like the whole creation is shouting out, "Here is God, here is God, here is God." I've listened to some people who don't believe in God talk, and they have a hard time believing in God. And they'll say things like, "Well, I've looked for God everywhere, and I don't see Him. Where is He?" And my dad used to sit down on a little gazebo he had on a pond, and he'd throw a hook out into the water. Sometimes he'd bait the hook. But mostly what he was doing is watching dragonflies and things, and looking, and being, just sitting there. And he says, "I've looked for God everywhere, and everywhere I look, there He is." Maybe God is talking and we're not listening. On 2978 somewhere a few years ago, there used to be an ice house. I think it's on 28, a beer joint. And my buddy Jerry was a preacher, and he was invited to come do a wedding at the beer joint. So he had never been invited to do that before, so he went. And so he walked in there, smoke everywhere, and he found the people to be married, and so he stood them up right there and married them. And then he said, well, let's all join together in Lord's Prayer. And some of the guys are, you know, well, what am I going to do with my beard, you know, while we pray? And anyway, Jerry led them all in the Lord's Prayer, and he said that he started out with it, and by the time he got halfway, a few other people chimed in. By the time he got done, everybody in the place was praying. And when he got done and looked up, some of the people still had their heads bowed, and a couple of them had tears running down their face. And one guy in particular came up to him later. He said, you know, my mama's been praying for me for a lot of years. And it might be time I change my way. And Jerry said, well, you know, it's a good thing I was here. I'm glad God brought me in here, because this might be the only place where you could hear what God had to say. It might be that we need to put ourselves in a place where we can hear what God has to say, and He's not silent at all. So is the silence of God really silent? Is your heart breaking? It might be that we have answers that we didn't think about before, but He's not really silent. And here's what I really believe, and I'm nearly done. I really appreciate you listening to me. I really believe that in the silence of God, a precious faith is born. In the silence of God, our faith is born. Because if God was talking all the time, we wouldn't need faith, right? If He was constantly telling us every step to take, we wouldn't need faith. Somebody said this, and it rings true to me. Said, when God fixes your problems, you have faith in His ability. When He doesn't fix your problem, He has faith in your ability. Isn't that an interesting thought? Maybe during the silence of God, we're developing perseverance. Maybe during the silence of God, we're developing maturity. Maybe during the silence of God, we're developing a precious faith that God's proud of. And speaking of maturity, why in the world are we having to get mature all of our lives and then just die? Why are we in training so many years? That makes me think we got something else to do after we die. Don't know for sure. I can't ferret it out exactly. But why else would we spend an entire lifetime being disciplined by God and building this faith in God if we didn't have something pretty big to do later? That gives me some hope. Makes me happy to think about that. I said this other night and misquoted it, and I'm not sure where it was. I heard that it was scratched on a wall in a concentration camp in Nazi Germany. And then I heard it was in Cologne, Germany, in a cellar. But where some Jews were kept during the war, hiding. I believe in the sun even when it's not shining. And I believe in love even when I don't feel it. And I believe in God even when He's silent. We don't see air, but we believe in it. And we don't see thoughts, but we believe in them. We don't see heat, but we believe in them. We don't see the wind, but we believe in it. And sometimes we don't see God, but we believe Him. And I think with that, God is well pleased. Jesus said it like this to doubting Thomas. He said, you believe because you see. But here's a better thing. More blessed is he who not seeing still believes. What a great piece of information that is. So you're dealing with the silence of God. I'd encourage you to read some more of this Bible and come to believe that maybe the silence of God is He's working on an answer. Maybe my life isn't right. I need to straighten it up. Maybe He's maturing me, and maybe He's growing my faith. And maybe with perseverance, we'll get a great reward Let's stand.
Come to